Genesis chapter 1. I want to start out tonight by reminding you that it was God who designed our bodies. He actually made our bodies. And here's what I want you to think about. Everything else that God made other than our bodies, He spoke into existence. And I want to show you that tonight. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to go down just this, real quickly as by way of introduction tonight, the 6 days of creation. And I want to show you that everything that God made other than us, He created. In other words, He made it out of nothing. Our bodies are the only thing in Genesis chapter 1 that the Bible says He took something and made something else. On day one, God made the light. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, God didn't take something else and make light. He just said, "Let there be light," and He spoke light into existence on day one. On day two, God made the firmament that divided the waters under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. Look down in verse 6. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Now you see in verse 7, it says, "And God made the firmament," but it doesn't say that He took something else and made the firmament. He just made this firmament out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. On day three, look down in verse 9. God gathered the waters together. He made the seas, and then He made the dry land appear. Verse 9, "And God said, 'Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so." Again, God didn't take something to make the dry land. He just spoke it into existence. And then that dry land, down in verse 11, "And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth.' And it was so." So on day three, not only did He make the dry land, but he created, made out of nothing, all the flowers and the trees and the vegetables and everything, every plant, all the plant life that's on the earth. On day four, He made the sun, moon, and stars. Look down in verse 14. "And God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.'" Now, skip down to verse 16. Again, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." But again, notice it doesn't say, well, God took some matter from over here and some matter from over here, and He put them all together and made the sun. No, He just spoke the heavenly bodies into existence. He created them. That word "create" means to make something out of nothing. And that's what God did on day four. On day five, the Bible says that the waters brought forth the moving creature that had life and fowls that may fly above the earth in heaven. Look at verse 20. "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.'" And then verse 21, notice, "And God created." Again, it doesn't say that He took a little tadpole and made a frog, or He took a little fish and made a big fish. It says that He created each animal. He spoke it into existence, made it out of nothing. And then on day six, look at verse 24, where the Bible says, "And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind.' And it was so." And look at verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after their kind." Now again, it doesn't say, well, God took this and made a cow, and God took this and made a bull, or God took this and made a caterpillar. It just says he made them. He spoke them into existence. And then the Bible says there in Genesis chapter 1, "And God said, 'Let us,'" talking about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were all there in the beginning. "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" All right? And then go over to verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Only time in the record of the creation of the world that it says God took something and made something else. He took the dust of the ground, and it doesn't say, but I always think about this. You know, he had probably put a little water with it to get it to stick together. And so he took the dust of the ground and he formed it. In other words, he used his hands. You might say that we're the only creation of God where God sort of got his hands dirty making us. He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So here's what I want you to think about tonight. Everything else he spoke into existence. But when he made us, when he made man, when he made our bodies, he formed them out of the dust of the ground. And so every organ that we have in our bodies, God made of the dust of the ground. He made the heart. He made the lungs. He made the stomach. He made the liver. He made the kidneys. And you can go on and just like I could and name all the other body parts. I want you to realize that God made all of those things and he put them in the body exactly where he wanted them to be. And he put them in the body for a purpose. Every one of those parts that God has in our body is there for a reason. And God created them and he placed them within us for a purpose. And I'll remind you tonight that when our bodies get sick, many times, not all the times, but many times, it's because one of those parts quit working. Or they don't do what God made them to do. Okay, you still got your... And by the way, we started out in Psalm 139, where the psalmist said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." And let me just stop and park right there for a second. Nobody else could design our bodies but God. Nobody could. I know man's smart, but man could not put together the bodies that we have to do all the things that our bodies do, to be able to heal, to be able to grow. I mean, man can't just do that. It took God to do it. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, if you still have your Bibles open, now open them up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this chapter, God is talking about the church. And he's comparing the church to a body. Look at verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." And what God is trying to, he's using a parallel between the body and the church, and he's saying, look, you're in your body, the eye can't say to the hand, "Hey, pal, I don't need you anymore." The eye can't do that. The head can't say to the foot, "Hey, I don't need you anymore." That doesn't happen in the body. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." What God's saying here, hey, there are parts of our body that we don't pay much attention to. We don't give it much honor. I mean, we talk about our heart, but there's some other parts of the body we don't talk about, but just let them malfunction. Just let them not work for a while, and we see how important that they are. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Hey, when you stub your toe, you hurt all over. Huh? And that's what God's saying. When one part of your body is hurt, the whole body hurts. And by the way, when your head feels good, most of the rest of you feels good too. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so what God is saying here about the church is, hey, we can learn a lot about the church from the body. Just like God made every organ and every part in our body and put it in our body the place where He wanted it to be and to do the job that He wanted it to do, so God places in the church different people, different parts of the body called the church, and he puts them where He wants them, and He gives them a job that He wants them to do. Now, tonight, as I mentioned this morning, I want to talk about one body part. I want to talk about the spleen. Okay? And I want to talk about what it does in our body. And here's my point tonight. We need some spleens in the church. Okay? We need some spleens in the church. Now, I'm going to get a little technical, and some of you are more medically inclined than I am. And I'm going to say words that I don't really know how to pronounce, and if you know how to pronounce them, don't correct me. I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to tell you what they do, okay? But if I don't say it right, just overlook it. So here's what a spleen is. It's a highly vascular, glandular, ductless organ situated in man at the cardiac heart, that's a heart, end of the stomach. It serves chiefly in the formation of lymphocytes. I'm going to tell you what those things do in just a minute. And in the destruction of worn out erythrocytes. I know I'm not saying that right. And as a reservoir of the blood. Okay? So the spleen has three purposes in that definition. First of all, it forms this thing called lymphocytes. I can't say it twice the same way, so just forgive me that too. These are the white blood cells. Thanks. Stay out of my preaching, Brother Dick. The white blood cells, and the purpose of the white blood cells is to go throughout the body and to seek out infection and to kill infection. And so the spleen produces those white blood cells that travel throughout our body looking for infections and disease to kill those. Now, it also is responsible or functions in destroying the worn out, whatever that other word I said. Now, that other word I said is this. It's the red blood cells whose job is to take oxygen to the parts of the body. And when those cells get worn out, they need to be removed from the bloodstream. And the spleen does that. Let me give you an example. And I always try to bring this down to my level, because if I can get it down to my level, I know for sure you can understand it. Think about driving on the freeway if all the junk cars were still on the freeway. I mean, all the cars that we see in junkyards all around here, just think, if they weren't in junkyards, that they'd be on the freeway. Can you imagine how hard it would be to go from point A to point B? You'd have to dodge all these junk cars. Well, see, these red blood cells that get wore out, if the spleen doesn't remove them, then the healthy red blood cells that deliver oxygen and life and health to the body couldn't make their way to the, I mean, they'd have a tough time getting to the parts of the body that they needed to get to deliver the oxygen and the life and the health that they need to do. So in plain English, that in layman's terms, so to speak, here's what the spleen does. It takes in the poison that the body has and destroys it. And it clears the way for the red blood cells to deliver oxygen and life and health to the rest of the body. It takes out the poison and clears the way so that life can be distributed to the rest of the body. Now, if you think about the church as a body, you can quickly see the spiritual application. We need some spleens in the church that will take the poison, the infection, absorb it, and then clear the way for life to spread in the church. Okay, let me catch up to my notes here. All right, still got your Bibles open. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Last verse in that chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Here's what it says. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, we read that verse and say, well, I'm supposed to be kind. But you know that word kind there? What it actually means is to be employed, to be busy, to be used. And that, and so we're to be employed one to another. We're to be busy one to another, tender-hearted. You know what that word tender-hearted means? If you go back and you study the root words in the Greek, it actually means to be spleen-like. Spleen-like. Now, I'm going to illustrate what I'm talking about tonight. And I asked Hannah and Jenna if they would help me, and they both said they would. So, girls, I want you to come up here right now, would you? I brought some stuff to help me illustrate. Okay, Jenna, you stand right there, and Hannah, you stand over here, okay? Now, these two are, you know that these two are sisters. And I'm sure that for the most part, they get along pretty good. You guys get along pretty good, right? Oh, come on. But I'm sure if they're like most sisters, that every once in a while they disagree about something and maybe they fight a little bit. That ever happen? Okay, now here's the purpose of the spleen. Hannah, I want you to take this, and I want you to back up just a little bit. I want you to pretend that you're really mad at Jenna. She did something that really made you mad. And you're so mad, you're going to take that big wad of paper and you're going to throw it as hard as you can and hit her. Okay? Not yet. I'll tell you when. Okay? Okay? You know what you're supposed to do? Okay, now here's what the spleen does. The spleen steps in and says, okay, go ahead and throw it. Hard as you can. Okay? And then here's what the spleen does. Instead of passing this paper ball on, the spleen says, Jenna, here's a Valentine for you from Hannah. Okay? Now it works the other way. Let's say that Jenna gets so mad at Hannah that she's done something that she just wants to get her. And so she takes out her gun and says, Hannah, I'm going to get you. I want you to aim for my face, okay? Because I don't want to get wet except for my face. Okay? And so she gets so mad and she says, Jenna, I'm going to get you. And here's what the spleen does. Okay, that's enough. And here's what the spleen does. Instead of letting that water go through, the spleen says, Hannah, here's a juice for you from Jenna. Now you see, that's exactly what the spleen does. It takes the poison that Hannah... Let me have that gun. it takes the poison that Hannah had for Jenah, because when she wanted to throw that big spitball at her, it wasn't a spitball, but a big wad of paper, and instead takes all that poison in, filters it out, and then clears the way for life, for health, for a good relationship. And when Jenna got so mad that she wanted to take that squirt gun and let Hannah have it, the spleen says, okay, squirt me. And then the spleen says, hey, Hannah, there's some juice for you. Again, clearing the way for life and health. Okay, thank you, girls. You did good. You can keep those if you want. Wait till you get home to drink it, though. Now, let me just ask you a question. Isn't that what Jesus did on Calvary? People gathered around the cross. Son of God hanging there. Bible says they ridiculed him. Hey, you're the Son of God. You got that kind of power, come on down. You said you could destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. If you really have that kind of power, come on down. Prove that you're God. And what did Jesus do? He looked toward heaven and said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. Now, the Bible tells us, if you still got your Bibles open, in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us about some of the things that we as spleens in the church need to filter out. Look in verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Here's what it says. I'm going to read it all through first, and then I'm going to come back and talk about it real quick. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, then it tells us how to do it. And be ye kind, be ye employed, tenderhearted, as a spleen, sucking in the poison, sucking in those things that are mentioned in verse 31, forgiving one another, and then sending out clearing the way for for growth, for the oxygen, for the thing that makes the body well and healthy, clear the way for that to get out. Now, let me just take you down through that list. Let all bitterness. If you think about something that tastes bitter, it has a harsh, acid taste, and it sticks with you. If you get a bitter taste in your mouth, it stays. And in our relationships, that's sometimes what happens. We get a bitter taste about one another, and we don't let it go. I mean, it's like acid. It just eats away at our relationship. And so let's say that Bill does something to Brother Dick. I mean, this is certainly a good example. Let's say that Bill, stand up for a second. Let's say that Bill does something, and stand up, Brother Dick. Let's say that Bill does something to Brother Dick, and Dick gets bitter about it. And he says, boy, I'm going to get that Bill. Now, here's what the spleen does. The spleen steps in between the two and sucks in all that bitterness and then turns to Bill and says, you know, you got a good friend in Brother Dick. You just got a good friend. You see, you take in all that poison, that bitterness, and you suck it in. And here's what the Bible says. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If I'm going to be a spleen, I got to forgive Dick for feeling that way. I mean, I could say, you got no right to feel that way. What he did to you wasn't that bad. Get over it, man. But see, I don't do that. That just make it worse. I say, I forgive them. And then I, instead of passing on, and here's what a lot of us do. Boy, you're right. That guy is a sorry guy. And we just sort of accelerate what happens instead of sucking it in and then building the right kind of relationship. Okay, thanks. So that happens with bitterness. Notice the next thing that it says, let all bitterness and wrath, strong, stern, fierce anger that wants vengeance. You see, anger is the next word, but wrath is not only when you're mad, but when you want to get back at somebody. Okay? So let's say that Bob and Dorothy, this happens between husbands and wives. Let's say that Bob and Dorothy have a disagreement, and Dorothy says, I'm going to get them.
And I've said that.
I'm going to get him. I'm going to put kidney beans in his Jell-O. He's going to get it. And so here's what a spleen does. It steps between the two of them and absorbs all that wrath, all that anger, and says, Dorothy really loves you, Bob. She really does. And forgives Dorothy. You got a pretty good husband there, ma'am. He's a good guy. And that's what a spleen does. It sucks in all the poison and clears the way for the life to go on. And I got to hurry. Notice the next one, clamor. You know what that word means? That means persistent uproar. That means somebody just wants to keep things stirred up all the time. Just keep things stirred up, stirred up, stirred up. And what a spleen does is steps into that situation and says, hey, just calm down. Just calm down. I mean, it sucks it all in and is a calming influence on the situation. Evil speaking, gossip. And then malice, that word malice, it says, let it all be put away from you with all malice. That word malice is a desire to inflict injury or suffering. It says, hey, I want to hurt them. I want them to suffer. And God says, look, we need to put all of that away. And the way that we do that is have people that are willing to be spleens that suck it all in and turn around and make the way for life to pass throughout the body. I mentioned when we were talking about the body that many times when the body gets sick is when body parts don't do what they're supposed to do. And the same thing is true in churches. A lot of times churches get sick because body parts in the church, folks that God has put there for a specific reason, don't do what they're supposed to do. Now, there's one more thing I want to tell you about the spleen. You know how different body parts represent different things. As I was studying about the spleen, it says, the organ conceived of as the seat of spirit and courage. Spirit and courage. And I'll tell you what. As a spleen, you certainly need courage. See, it's always easier to say, like using Bill and Dick as an example. It's always easier to say, Dick, you're right. Bill is just, he really did you wrong. It's easier to agree with somebody that's harping on somebody else. It takes a lot of courage to say, no, you've had a misunderstanding. And suck in all that poison. Just let it all out. I'm going to suck it in. And then clear the way for life to happen. And by the way, there's not an organ in the church that does more for a church's spirit than the spleen. Amen? I mean, if we can suck in all that poison and then clear the way for life to spread, not an organ that does more good in a church than a spleen. So, you need a healthy spleen, not only in your body, but we need one in our church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you that you've given us a book that tells us about it. And I pray tonight we take heed to the message. I pray tonight that we take heed and understand that you've put us all here for a purpose. You've molded us together as a body. And we need to do our part. We need to do what you've put us here to do. And I think a church needs many spleens. I think a church needs many people that will go between for bitterness and go between for wrath and go between for clamor and go between for malice and clear the way for health and life to spread in this body called the church. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, tonight would be the night they see themselves as a sinner. They see the price that Christ paid on Calvary, and tonight they'd come and receive him. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.